Today's reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and from chapter 22. And in the Spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of the heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The River of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence this morning, for your Spirit who is with us. Thank you for the ability to be in worship, the ability to raise our voices, to express our love to you. May you now speak to us through your word. May you open our hearts and our minds to receive your message and enable us to receive it, to understand it. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. So China apparently is planning to upgrade the moon. Well, not quite, but what their technologists have in mind is impressive nonetheless. They plan to launch a fake moon or even several fake moons over the city of Chengdu. It'll be more like illumination satellites. Chengdu is a city of a population of 11.5 million people, and the light from these spheres will help to illuminate the city after dark. And their light is supposed to be 8 times brighter than moonlight and provide a dusk-like glow. And if they work, it's projected that they will lessen the need for street lamps and thus lower the electricity costs by $173 million a year. So let's suppose the Chinese project turns out to be successful beyond all projections. So successful that they can keep daylight going around the clock. Do you think people would like that? I mean, would you like that? No? To have 24 hours of daylight? Shaking your heads. Now, of course, people living in the northern reaches of Alaska and Iceland and places above the Arctic Circle do have 24-hour daylight for almost 2 months a year. And apparently, people love it. It's not uncommon to see people mowing their grass at 11 p.m. or hiking at midnight. And people who need sleep and need to sleep certain hours, I mean, they may just use blackout curtains. But most people welcome the ongoing light. But what if a city had its own light to such a degree that it had no need for light from either the sun or the moon. The final two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, speak of such a city of perpetual light. It tells about a new Jerusalem, the ultimate home of those whom God has made righteous. And in the description of this city is this. It says, and the city has no need for sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. So the city doesn't need the sun or the moon or anything for light. God's glory is the light. Jesus the Lamb is the lamp. And talking about the righteous who will live there, it says, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. They don't need the light of the sun because God will give them light. So in this vision of the world to come, the city is illuminated in a different way. People who live there exist in a realm where they don't need light and the sources of light that we understand or as we understand them. The Lord God is all the light that will be needed. The Lord God will be their light. Now, of course, we can't explain this in any kind of scientific way, but we shouldn't be too surprised that the God who said, let there be light at the beginning of the creation, in fact, is the same God who is the light of life at the end of time. Now, should we understand this literally or figuratively? I mean, when the Bible uses the words light and darkness, more often than not, those terms intend to have a figurative meaning. For example, when John says, God is light, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has never put it out. We understand that as figure of speech. And it means that God is altogether good, with no trace of evil whatsoever. Yet if we could ask the writer about the source of physical light, he might also say, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And that kind of cross-identifying between figurative and literal light is used throughout the Bible. So that when John of Patmos, in his vision, sees a city where God is the light, he almost certainly understands this in both senses. And so if we take this light that Revelation talks about literally, that would mean that in this place where God is the light, there is no night. The city gates stay open all day, it says. In fact, they never close because it's always day. Which means that if you're one of those people who's so involved in plans and activities that there never seems to be enough hours in the day, well, this is good news for you. Because there are always enough hours in the day because night never comes. On the other hand, as we get older and our strength begins to diminish, we may welcome the coming of actual darkness, right? Because it's a time when we can gratefully let go of the responsibilities of the day and climb into bed and just have a good night's sleep and hopefully wake the next day with enough energy to tackle the things that are required. It's not that we don't wish to be like when we were young with all the energy. But when facing the reality of aging, the darkness doesn't look so bad. But what's interesting about the city of New Jerusalem is that things are very different there. It says all things are new. And in this city where God is the light, there will be no more death. or suffering or crying or pain, because these things of the past are gone forever in this new city, in this new reality. And so the troubles and weariness of getting old don't follow us into that city. So we too will be able to welcome unending day there. Michelle, do you mind closing that door for us, please? Thank you. But, you know, rather than to try pick out when the Bible is being figurative or literal about light and darkness in a city that's over the horizon, let's take a look at what the Bible is telling us for our lives right now with these words of light and darkness. Because you see, when it comes to our lives in the here and now, the truth is we all experience darkness. Everybody has dark days. We have dark days of disappointment. You're hoping for one thing, but then you're disappointed. And there's been, I think, a lot of disappointing news in the world and in our country lately. Just read the latest feeds on your phone or follow the news or follow the stock market up and down. There's lots of disappointing news all the time. The fact is sometimes life is simply disappointing. Things don't always work out as planned, and we all experience dark days of disappointment. But we also have dark days of distress. And this is when you feel overwhelmed, when you're stressed out, you're frustrated because you've got too much to do and you don't have enough time, and you don't have enough money, and you don't have enough energy, and you're overloaded. And maybe you are in dark days of distress right now. You may be stressed out financially. You know, I heard of a guy that went to the bank and said, I'm having trouble with your easy payment plan. I mean, do you have anything easier than that? You can be stressed out physically. You can be stressed out relationally. Your marriage isn't working out right, or your relationships aren't working out right with your kids or with your friends or even with your employer. And those are dark days of distress, but they're also dark days of doubt. Sometimes we lose our way. So when you look at your past, you get disappointments. When you look at your present, you get stress. And when you look at your future, you get doubtful. You get worried. And I'm sure right now, again, there are plenty of reasons for us to have doubt and uncertainty about the future. Will the economy stay strong? What's going to happen with my kids? What will my health situation be a year from now? And doubt is simply part of our lives. And often all of this can lead to dark days of depression. And when you're depressed, you feel like, you know, what's the use? And you feel like giving up. When World War II started in Europe, Winston Churchill said, "The light has gone out in Europe." And some of you may feel like that when it comes to your life. You know, you feel like David, who wrote in Psalm 88, "Darkness is my only friend." And so the question is, you know, where do you turn in your dark days? Whom do you turn to in the dark days of your existence? But what if you believe the words of Samuel, who said, "Our Lord and God, you are my lamp. You turn darkness to light." You see, God is able to drive out darkness. You can turn to Jesus, who said, "I am the light that has come into the world, and no one who has faith in me will stay in the dark." So you pivot towards the Lamb who is the lamp for the new Jerusalem, where there will be darkness no more. And so when I experience dark days of disappointment, God encourages me when I'm disappointed. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is there to rescue all who are discouraged and have given up hope." He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits have been crushed. God encourages you by reassuring you with the words, "I'm with you. I have not left you. And I'm close to you." And so God is with us and encourages me in disappointing times by reminding me I never go through anything in life alone. And he encourages me by helping me realize that, well, he's got a design. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for my life. He says, "I have good plans for you. I will give you hope and I will give you a good future." And so, he strengthens me when I'm distressed. It says in Philippians, "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." I have the strength to face anything. I can do all things. I'm competent. I'm capable. I'm able to handle no matter what comes my way. I'm ready for anything, and I'm equal to anything. But hear this, is it on my own power? Is it in my own strength? No, it's with the power that God puts in my life through Jesus Christ. Nothing can devastate me, no matter what happens. I can face it, not on my own, but by the power that Christ gives me. He will strengthen me when I'm distressed. He will also guide me when I'm in doubt. When I'm confused, when I really don't know which way to go. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." So if you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. For living light will flood your path. You know, we always have decisions to make. We constantly have choices to consider. And sometimes we have to decide which path to take. The question is, on what basis are you going to make those major decisions? When you face doubts, is there any reliable source that you know will always give you the right advice and never steer you in the wrong direction? God's word won't steer you the wrong way. And with God's presence in your life, you won't have to stumble, you know, just blindly through the darkness. It says living light will flood your path and show you the way and enable you to see things more clearly. God will encourage me when I'm disappointed. He will strengthen me when I'm distressed. He will guide me when I'm doubtful. And finally, He will change me when I'm depressed. When I get depressed, God doesn't want to just, you know, pat me on the back and say, "Hey, you know, cheer up." He wants to change me instead. He wants to help me learn some new attitudes, some new thought patterns, some new approaches, some new choices. Because God can't change me. When the light of God shines in on my life, it brightens me up and it takes me out of that pit of despair, and the light of God fills my life. And his word says, light brings every kind of goodness and right living and truth. So the light of Christ produces in people all that is good and right and true. And when you allow Christ to fill your life with his Spirit, it brings out the best in you. So if you want to get out of the dark days of disappointment and doubt and distress and depression, then you must choose to start living in the light. And may the rising sun each day, each and every day, remind you that God will illumine your life. And when your life is filled with the light of Christ, he will ultimately lead you to the city of perpetual light, the place where the glory of God is light and Jesus the Lamb is the lamp, where darkness, whether it be physical or spiritual, is no more. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we all go through times of darkness. Thank you for the light of Christ that shines brightly in the world, that can shine brightly in our own lives, that can illumine the path for us. The darkness will never put out the light, your light. And may we all look forward to the day when we enter the New Jerusalem, the city of perpetual light, where everything is bright, where there is no more tears or sadness or death, but only joy in the presence of you, where people will worship you and reign with you forever. Thank you for that city of light that awaits those who belong to you. We thank you and we praise you in the name of your Son, Jesus, the Lamb, who is the lamp, who is the light of the world. Amen. Amen.